All right, we're going to get started with the last talk. I've not had a chance to speak to you, but I do. Listen, I really enjoyed our time. Thanks again for the opportunity to come and speak to you. We've really valued our time here. So we're going to finish up thinking again about the resurrection. This time we're going to turn to John 11. John 11. It's a familiar story. It's the raising of Lazarus. And so I'm going to read the first six verses of John 11, and I'm going to skip down to verse 17, and we'll read through the rest of the chapter. And we're reflecting on this idea, or just at this last thought, we talked about how the resurrection is proof of his victory. We're going to think about this concept of the resurrection being proof of his love now. So listen to God's word, because this gives us great hope. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God, may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Let's skip down to verse 17. Verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. We'll end the reading of God's word. Oftentimes throughout this life, God gives us very heavy things that we have to endure. 4 weeks ago, our congregation was struck with incredible tragedy, gut-wrenching tragedy, when a man that we love, a man that many of you know and love, took his own life. And it's been heart-crushing tragedy to deal with. And many of you here have had to endure very hard and heavy things in your life. And your hearts have been also filled with great sorrow and sadness. And when we're struck with tragedy, the tragedy of, to this degree, there are lots of questions that fill our minds. Questions of why did it happen this way? Questions that make us think about the future, great, what's going to happen next? Tragedy and death and painful, hard circumstances, emotional heaviness, chronic illness and pain, a terminal illness, whatever it is in your life, these struggles make us wrestle with big, big questions. The questions of life, about the meaning of life, and particularly questions about God. And one of those questions that we're forced to wrestle with during these times is, God, you could have very easily prevented this, and you could prevent this right now. You could prevent this tragedy that's torn my life apart, torn my heart apart, but yet you didn't. Why? We watch our parents stricken with Alzheimer's or be disabled in some way. Loved ones die of cancer. Beloved children die. We endure chronic pain, emotional struggle. We have unfulfilled desires. We have marriages that break. God, you could at the snap of a finger take away this pain and sorrow. You could make it all go away. It would cost you absolutely nothing. It's just this one thing, but yet you don't do it. Why? And it's a legitimate question because, I mean, if you think about people who really love you and you were in trouble and they could do something about it, they would drop everything and come to your aid. I know there's people in my life where if I gave them a call and I was in desperate need, they would drop everything and come running. But here, God says that He loves us, and yet it seems that He stands far off when we absolutely need Him the most. It just doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem consistent. And that's the very question that's posed here in John 11. Lazarus dies and three people come to Jesus and they say, Lord, you could have prevented this, but you didn't. That doesn't make sense. You say you love us, but you didn't come when we needed you the most, which makes us question, do you really in fact love us? And throughout the story, Jesus answers this question. He says, I do love you more than you understand. And I did it this way so that you would see my glory. And that you would see that I am who you need. The greatest demonstration of God's love is not saving us from death and pain and struggle in this life, but rather the greatest thing that God can do for you and for me is to reveal His glory to us so that we would see who He really is. That we would see that He is the resurrection and the life. Through our struggle, Jesus shows you and me that He is who we need and that He is enough. Trust in Him in the midst of your sorrow because He is the resurrection and the life. As we jump into our story here in John 11, we find that at the end of chapter 10, Jesus and His disciples were in Jerusalem, and Jesus was talking to the crowds, talking to His disciples, and He said things that offended people, and so many people stopped following Him. Some tried to stone Him, but He escaped to a region called Perea, and it's across the Jordan River to the east of Jerusalem, about 50 miles or so east of Jerusalem. And when He was in Perea, Lazarus became ill. And so Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, sent word to Jesus, and they said, Lord, Lazarus, whom you love, is ill. And when Jesus heard this, He said, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And the next two verses are very intriguing and initially somewhat confusing and in many ways hard for us to wrap our minds around. It says in verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so, or therefore, literally therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. It's important to catch the very simple logic in these two verses. Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and therefore, because he loved them so much, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Because he loved them, he didn't come running. Because he loved them, he delayed. And that's strange. I mean, if he loved them, then wouldn't he have come rushing to their aid? But yet, instead, because he loved them, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus here is indicating that it's more loving to send Lazarus through death, more loving to send Martha and Mary through heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching grief than it is to avoid it. And that doesn't make sense to us. How in the world can that be more loving? Well, it says in verse 4, Jesus says that it's more loving because through death and through grief, through heartache and sorrow, they will then see the glory of the Son of God. Through this experience, they will see the glory of God. Through death and grief, Jesus is going to show them who he really is. And that is the most loving thing that he could do. John Piper said, "Do not measure the love of God for you by health and wealth that you enjoy, but rather measure God's love for you by how much of himself he shows to you." Think about this. We talked about this earlier in the week. The message of the gospel is the gift of eternal life. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll not perish, but have eternal life. And in John 17:3, it says that Jesus clarifies what he means by this term, eternal life, and he says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." Eternal life, the essence of the promise of the gospel is that we would know who God is and who Jesus is. And that's the greatest, most loving gift that exists in this universe. Later in John 14, Jesus says this. He says, "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." The demonstration of his love is the revealing of himself to us. That means that if Jesus loves you, it doesn't mean that he will do whatever you demand of him. It doesn't mean that he'll come running at your every beck and call, and it doesn't mean that he's going to give you health and wealth and prosperity in this life. What it does mean, though, is if he loves you, then he will reveal himself to you. He'll reveal his glory to you. And this is exactly what he was doing with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved them and therefore didn't come running, because through this experience, he was going to reveal himself to them to show them who he really is. And that's by far the greater gift. All of us have circumstances that we've pleaded with God to change. We pray and we pray and we pray, and yet God doesn't come running. Or we have things in our lives that we've cherished, and they've been ripped from our hands. And that makes us question his love. "God, I thought you cared about me." But what we fail to realize is that God delays because he loved us. Yes, God could have avoided the whole struggle. Yes, he could at the snap of a finger take away your every struggle. But he delays because through this struggle, Jesus is revealing himself to you. So that you see and understand who he really is. So that you'll know him in a more intimate way. And that's the greatest gift of all. That is the essence of eternal life. So Jesus delays. Because Jesus loves them, he stayed where he was 2 more days there in Perea. And over those days, Lazarus dies, and Jesus and his disciples decide that it's time. Or Jesus decides it's time, and his disciples travel about 50 miles out towards Jerusalem. Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived in a town of Bethany, which was just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, and so their journey probably took 3, 4, 5 days. And so by the time that Jesus and his disciples arrived to Bethany, or on the outskirts of Bethany, Lazarus had already been dead 4 days. And lots of people were gathered around their house with mourning with Mary and Martha. And as Jesus approached Bethany, he made his way and made his way towards Lazarus' tomb. He's met by three different people who question his love. They question his decision making. The first one to meet him was Martha. And Martha heard that Jesus, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet him. And she came to him outside the town and she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It doesn't make sense. You say that you love us. I know that you love us. But you didn't come when we needed you the most. And that doesn't make sense. Why didn't you come? She says in the very next phrase that she still believes that Jesus can do anything. But there's obviously confusion in her mind. She knows that Jesus loves her. But he delayed in coming to their aid. And so that doesn't make sense. If Jesus loves us, then why doesn't he come running the moment we need him? She's questioning, or at least very confused, about love. He says he loves us, but he delays. The second one to meet Jesus is Mary, Martha's sister. Jesus was still outside the town of Bethany, and Martha came running back from talking with Jesus, and she told Mary that Jesus wanted to see her. And when she heard, she got up and she ran out toward him, and there in verse 32, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You could have healed him." Same words as Martha, her sister. Same confusion in her mind, same questioning of his love. "Lord, if you loved us, then why didn't you come running when we needed you the most?" The third group of people to meet him was the crowd, and it doesn't appear that the crowd engaged Jesus in any direct dialogue the way Mary and Martha did. But in verse 35 and following, as Jesus made his way to the tomb, they said among themselves, "See how he loved Lazarus. But could he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? If he was here, he could have healed him. But he delayed." He loved him. Jesus loved Lazarus, but he wasn't there for Lazarus when Lazarus needed him the most. And that didn't make sense to them either. They doubted his love. They doubted his decision to delay. How often do you wrestle with this very same question? "God, if you had been here, then it wouldn't have worked out this way. This wouldn't have happened. God, you know what I desire. You know the pain of my heart. You know the heaviness of my soul, and yet you delay. You say you love me, but this doesn't look or feel like love." In some form or another, this question, this confusion recurs throughout our lives again and again and again, and we doubt God's decision making. You say you love us, but then you don't come when we need you the most, and that doesn't make sense. So Jesus delays because he loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And yet Mary, Martha, and the crowd, they see that Jesus delays, and they use that as a reason to doubt his love for them. Jesus intends his delay to be an act of love, but they see this as a reason to doubt his love. Well, how does Jesus respond to this situation? How does he respond to these questions? Well, he responds in three ways. First, he responds with his words. He responds with his words by declaring to Martha a great and glorious truth. A truth that should in itself dissolve all our fears and all our concerns and reassure us and confirm to us the love of Christ. When Martha came running to Jesus, she said, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Jesus said, "For your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet will he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." I am the resurrection. What does Jesus mean here? To Martha, it might not be as easy to understand as it is for us. In about a month from that moment, Jesus would be the one dying. He'd be crucified, and as he hung on the cross, there would be a clash of the titans of the universe, where Jesus would decisively defeat Satan, sin, and death. And after 3 days in the grave, he would rise victorious, proving his victory on the cross. He unquestionably proves his victory by rising from the dead. And so, what he's saying, by saying that I am the resurrection, what he means is this. Martha, I have defeated your greatest enemies, including death. And if you trust in me, even though you die, and even though Lazarus dies, you will live. I have defeated your greatest enemies. With me, you have nothing to fear. With me, you have life in the fullest sense. And you know what that means, Martha? It means that I do, in fact, love you. I love you more than you understand. And I've done it this way so that you would see that. Martha had a firm grip on this life and on this earth, thinking that this life on earth was meant to be our satisfying and happy and fulfilling life, that this life would be our happily ever after. But that all came crashing to the ground, and one of the things she cherished the most in this life was torn from her hands. Lazarus, her brother, dies. Jesus lets one of these items in her hands that she depended upon for her happiness be ripped out of her hands so that she would realize that true happiness and hope and life is found only in Jesus Christ. I am who you need. I have defeated your greatest enemies, including death, and if you believe in me, then you have nothing to fear because I am the resurrection and the life. I know there's deep struggles going on in your lives. Maybe struggles that have happened in the past that you continue to wrestle with. Maybe struggles that are happening just playing out right now in your life. And if there aren't right now, then there will be in the days to come. And you may fear the days ahead. You may wrestle with heartbreaking, soul-agonizing struggles. And you cry out to God, you cry out to Jesus to make it better. And when he delays your question, it's love. I thought you loved me, and yet you're not doing anything about this. But what's so hard for us to understand is that he delays because he loves us. And he doesn't come and wave his hand and make everything all right or make everything better because he loves us. And he's helping us to see who he really is and to get us to understand that through him, we don't need to be afraid of anything because in him, we have victory over all of it. So what's your greatest fear? Do you fear what other people think? Do you fear losing a loved one? Do you fear the circumstances in your life? Well, if you cling to Christ, then you are more than a conqueror over these things. And you don't need to be afraid of the coming days because in all these things we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even though the enemy surrounds us, we are victorious and we cannot be defeated. Even though we die, we will live. So Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection? Do you believe that I've defeated all your greatest enemies? Do you believe that you don't have to fear death? She said, yes, I believe. And an important thing to recognize here is that things didn't all of a sudden make sense to her. She was still a very confused soul. But she held on to Jesus. And that's what we need to do. Things may not make sense, but Jesus is the resurrection, and we have to cling to him. Do you trust that Jesus has conquered Satan, sin, and death, and sin, and that there's not one thing that has power over you? You've been freed. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that means that he loves you more than you understand. And what he's doing through your circumstances is helping you understand that. Do you believe this? So when Martha questioned his love, Jesus first responded with words saying, I am the resurrection. If you know me, then death doesn't have any real power. His second response to their questioning of his love is a response of emotion. And there's lots of debate over the emotion of Jesus Christ here in this passage. The emotion that Jesus shows here. Three different times through this passage, Jesus gives some sort of emotional response. After Martha leaves Jesus, she runs back and she sends Mary to go talk with Jesus. And in verse 32, Mary comes running up to Jesus saying, Jesus, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. An accusation, really. Why weren't you here? And in response, it says in verse 33 that Jesus was moved, deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. A literal translation would be that he was angered and troubled in his spirit. It wasn't the same emotion as Mary's weeping. It's different. Jesus then asked the people, he said, where have you laid him? And they, as they led him to Lazarus' tomb, it says in verse 35 that Jesus wept. But again, it's a different word that's used here for Jesus' weeping. It wasn't the same as Mary's weeping. And again, it seems to indicate not so much sadness, but being upset. It's an emotional response. And then when he arrived at the tomb, the crowds questioned his love. Couldn't this man have kept Lazarus from dying? Again, it wasn't so much a question of his power, but it was a question of his love. If he was here, he could have healed him. And in the very next verse it says, then, or therefore, Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. Literally, it says, therefore, he was deeply moved, and he came to the tomb. Therefore indicates that his emotional response was in response to the people's doubting of his love. And again, it's a mixture of anger and emotion. And like I said, commentators take different perspectives on this. I agree with what John Piper says in his analysis on this passage. Jesus' emotion here is not simply a mourning over Lazarus, that Lazarus had died, but his emotional response was a response of sadness. In response to the fact that people were doubting and questioning his love and his care. He was troubled by this accusation. Lord, if you were here, we wouldn't have died, but you delayed. And we wonder if you really love us. That makes sense to us in some ways. Think of it like a father who loves his daughter desperately, and he wants what's absolutely best for her, and she wants something that he knows is going to bring her hurt and cause her harm, and so he doesn't let her have it. He acts out of love, but yet the accusation from his daughter is, why are you doing this to me? I thought you loved me. And he desperately loves his daughter, but his daughter accuses him of not loving her, and this would trouble any good father. Sadness and frustration with some anger mixed in. You don't get it. I do it this way because I love you. It would cause any good father to be troubled in his spirit. So here Jesus delays because he loves them. He delays and lets Lazarus die. He lets Mary and Martha suffer grief. And he does this so that they would see who he really is. He's acting out of love. He's acting out of their greatest good, seeking their greatest good. But yet they use it as the reason to question his love and to doubt his decision making. And so he's understandably saddened and troubled by the accusations. Is this your tendency? It can so easily be our tendency to question God's love for us in the midst of suffering. In the midst of a storm, when every prayer of yours doesn't seem to be answered the way you want it to, do you question God's love for you? Do you question his decision making? God loves you through Jesus Christ more than you can understand in whatever storm that you're coming out of, whatever storm you're in the middle of, whatever storm you're headed towards. Don't use it as a reason to doubt His love, but understand that He sends you through it all so that you would see more clearly who He is. That you would see His glory more clearly, His beauty more clearly, and that is the greatest gift of all. So Mary, or so Martha, and then Mary, and then the crowds doubt Jesus' love for them and for Lazarus because He delays. And He first responds with words, and then He responds with emotions, and finally He responds with action. He displays His power over our greatest enemy by raising Jesus from the dead. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days already. His body well advanced in the process of decay, but Jesus had them roll back the stone, and He called out, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus came out, still wrapped in his burial cloths, and Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." And we're familiar with this story. We heard this story growing up, many of us. So it's not so shocking. But that is absolutely shocking what happens here. Jaw-dropping power, an incredible display of power that proves that what Jesus told Martha is true. "I am the resurrection and the life, and I have defeated Satan, sin, and death. And if you trust in me, then you have nothing to be afraid of." And of course, this is just a small picture of what He would do in full in the next month. He would rise from the dead in victory. And all those who trust in Him would be raised in glory, never to die again. Satan, sin, and death would be forever eradicated and destroyed, never to strike fear in us again. So many times in our lives, it does appear that God doesn't care. And He stands far away when we need Him the most. But what He's doing is that He's bringing us through the valley of the shadow of death so that we would then, in the end, see His glory all the clearer. Trust in the fact that He loves you more than you know. Don't live in fear. Those things you grab onto and hold onto so tightly, those things that you feel that you need for your happiness, those things that you are deathly afraid to lose or deathly afraid to never gain, release your grip from them and hold them in an open hand, asking God to reveal Himself to you and to act in the most loving way in regard to these things. The reality is that the painful, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching troubles and struggles and the hardest, fiercest storms in life are actually inspired in some way by His love. Because through these troubles, we learn in a greater way to believe that Jesus really is the resurrection and the life. And that He cares for us and loves us beyond what we understand. And in a greater way, as we go through these things, we come to see His glory and the majesty of who He is. He sends you through the storm so that you will see Him in a greater light. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Our God and Father, we come to You as broken people, with broken hearts, going through struggles and heartaches and pains. And we wonder many times why You don't come running and rushing to our aid. But we trust in Your love, and we trust that You're using all these things to draw us closer to You and to reveal Yourself to us, that we would see Your glory and majesty and beauty in a greater way, a greater light. So continue to show Your love to us by revealing Yourself to us in all the circumstances of our lives, and let us learn to find our great satisfaction and our delight in You. That we would see You, that You are the one that we need. We trust in Your love, and we do believe You are the resurrection and the life. So it's in Your name we pray. Amen.